I love these banners. It makes me feel like I'm at some kind of big rally. And I think the little sackcloth sockets with the banners sticking out of them really say something about the spirit of this day. It's one of celebration and also recognition of the pain that is to come. It's sackcloth and banners together. Our scripture today comes from the Gospel of Luke, and Luke's telling of that triumphal entry from chapter 19, verses 28 through 40. Listen for the word of God. After he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this, 'The Lord has, the Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, order your disciples to stop.' He answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out.'" This is the word of the Lord. The whole procession approaches from the east. All the followers, disciples, and hangers-on Jesus has gathered to himself. They tread the Roman road passing from the valley of Jericho, flat by the Jordan, up through the rocky hills to the Mount of Olives. From the high hillside, the procession looks over, a mile and a half off. Across the valley of Kidron rises Mount Zion and its temple, cresting above the walls. The structure to house the Holy of Holies itself, the opening which bears its great curtain, opening eastward. Facing east, visible in the distance, and perhaps sharp eyes far off could make out tiny dots of the ministering priests in their Passover preparation in the temple courts. Luke does not emphasize the hosannas or the palms. He doesn't mention either explicitly, those symbols of Solomon's kingship with such deep resonances for the Jewish people. But Luke is speaking to the Gentile audience, so he translates a little for them in which parts he emphasizes. He makes explicit, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." And he speaks of a royal carpet of cloaks and the commandeered colt whose hoofprints those cloaks will muffle as they clop across the road through the valley and toward Jerusalem's great gates. And Luke also points out the words that echo back to the story he has been telling since the very start of his gospel. Peace in heaven and glory in highest heaven. Glory and peace. Glory and peace. These things should sound familiar to you. They're an echo of things years earlier, the parts of Luke's gospel that we read each year in the cold of winter. Do they not sound like the cry of the angels at that first coming of Jesus, his birth, when the shepherds stood on the silent earth, and then the sky tore open, and the angels gleamed through it, and the voices from the heavens cried aloud, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom he favors." The great cry of heaven echoing down over the land from top to bottom. Now the cry goes back up, echoed. The heavens are silent and earth cries aloud. The people on the ground proclaiming peace in heaven and glory in highest heaven. An echo 33 years in the making. The voices of earth responding to heaven's call. Now the human crowd below sings Jesus' new coming along the path to Jerusalem on which he was carried as a baby to the temple. Along the path of festival pilgrims, he walked as a child. "Where else would I be but my father's house?" he had told his parents when they lost track of him for several days. Where else but the temple? The place where God's people gathered around the meeting of heaven and earth. Luke was careful to write about all those things, the heavenly voices, and Jesus' place at the temple. So, of course, Luke is the one who hears the echo here. How the voices of the crowd proclaim this meeting of heaven and earth. Jesus clops down the hillside to the sounds, his eyes now fixed on the temple. And now the Pharisees mount their protest. When heaven cries out, there's not much that can be done in protest. Who can stand against the voices of angels? But human voices down on earth, those can be silenced. So they say to Jesus, "Silence them, stop them, stop this disruption." People like the idea of voices from heaven, but when earth responds, that's where things get upsetting. A lot of people like God to say safely up in heaven and build lives on the notion that God is watching us from a distance, letting things happen, ready to be a comfort after we die, and otherwise leaving us very well alone. But if God is active down here, that can be upsetting because we suspect God's ways are not our ways. And the things God does might get in the way of our plans, the things we want, our instincts and prerogatives. With God in our midst, things can get messy. God can be disruptive, especially working through human beings. And Jesus is about to be very disruptive. This coming to the temple will not be as a quiet participant in the ritual. He does not come merely as another member of the crowd. He rides his strange and humble but kingly beast, his donkey colt, with a carpet on his way, straight to the courts of the temple, a place where the people see the meeting of heaven and earth as safely contained behind its walls. And in those courts, Jesus will disrupt the buying and selling, that easy commerce, commercializing that presence. And the very earthly forces of greed and religious piety and imperial fury will unite against this emissary of heaven. Right now, the voices are calling out, singing out, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace and glory. Glory and peace. Ascending up to heaven in the name of the King they accompany." Stop their voices, the religious leaders say. Tell their voices to stop. Jesus says, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out." heaven has spoken, and one way or another, earth will echo back. If the voices choose to echo, it will be their human voices. If the voices fall silent, then fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains will repeat the sounding joy, because when heaven speaks, earth will respond. Do not think that if you fall silent, you have stopped the voice of God. God's purposes will be accomplished with you or in spite of you. But you choose whether your voice will be among those echoing back. If those voices fall silent, the very rocks will shout out. Very shortly, Jesus' disruption will be stopped. He will be put to trial, and those human voices will fall silent when they are not shouting, "Crucify." And aloft on a hill outside the temple wall, held on a cross between heaven and earth, the clouds gathering and the darkness descending, and with the crowds no longer singing praise, Jesus will cry aloud to heaven, and his body will be sealed quiet and dead in the silence of the tomb, buried low in the earth. But heaven has cried out, and earth will respond.